I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
I saw Monty Don just going hell for leather with a hoe.
I'd certainly keep them going all the year round.
The Happy Garden.
A big, warm and sunny welcome to this episode of the Happy Garden podcast. Now that we have left behind what could have been the wettest February on record, we officially welcome in spring. And as the garden very slowly but very definitely turns from brown to green, so does the desire to plant and to plan and to sow new life, looking forward to the warm and the colourful months ahead. My name is Molly. I'll be your host for the next hour or so, but let me introduce you to your gardening expert, in the words of my new best friend, Chesney Hawkes. It is the one and the only Darren Rudge.
Yay!
Yes. Bit of a build-up for you there. Darren, how beautiful is it today? I'm gutted, actually, that we're inside recording. I've got the curtains drawn. It is the most beautiful spring day today.
It's a massive thumbs up like I put on the Facebook post for sunshine. It's here, folks. Spring is here. It's only about 15 days to officially spring on green.
Yes.
So there you go. It's here. It's definitely here.
I love that picture you put up on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page of the misshapen strawberry in the form of a thumbs up. After the torrential rain that we had in February, we've had a few beautiful, sunny, crisp days. Today's podcast, as I say, has a really, really sunny outlook because Darren and I are going to be looking forward to spring, to summer. We've got horticultural shows on the way, which will be bursting with colour and flowers and produce. I know you're going to have a look ahead, aren't you, to the shows that we've got forthcoming?
All the major shows that you can perhaps book into. Go on, treat yourself. Why wouldn't you?
And also, talking of shows, obviously Chelsea's only a few weeks away. So Stan and Vicky from Craig House Cacti, we'll be hearing from them. They're getting ready for Chelsea. Also, NGS, the National Gardening Scheme, they are getting ready for Chelsea. It's only the second time in history that NGS have had a show garden at Chelsea designed by Tom Stewart Smith. So we'll be hearing from he's our good friend now, isn't he, George Plumtree?
Yeah, nice man. Very nice
man. He's lovely, yeah. You're going to be profiling Winterbourne Gardens, your passion, your workplace.
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
Fine. And Andy...
Great garden to visit.
Andy Lound will be with us as well on the history of flower shows, which will be really, really interesting. Now, you might notice there is a small delay between Darren and I, which I will try and edit out in post-production. Darren, you know I bought a new laptop to counteract this awful delay that we seem to be having on my old computer.
Yeah.
Well, I was watering my plants during the week. I'm still on my old computer, which is why we've got this delay. I was watering my plants in the week and I took the laptop into the kitchen and I was watering my laptop. Well, that's unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. I was watering the plants with liquid grow more in a litre bottle of water
and it fell over onto my laptop. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. All estimates are about £1,000 to get fixed. So I know. So we're going to have to deal with this delay for just a little while longer, OK?
Oops.
Oops. I said worse at the time. I said worse. Anyway, back to today. Are you doing money saving and stuff? What are you doing today, actually?
I've got money saving tips. So I'm going to do a little profile on Winterbourne Gardens.
Yes.
I've got jobs for the weekend. And as we said a little bit earlier, I'm going to profile the major garden shows that you can get out to and see and have a mooch around in.
Which will be smashing. Well, do you want to start with some jobs for the weekend?
We can do.
Yes.
If you would like.
We shall do.
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Oh, yes. 3, 2, 1, go, Darren.
Tidy up any leaves and to have a general tidy of rubbish around the garden. Okay, this can be a home for things like slugs and snails and can harbour disease that can infect your garden, folks. Geranium cuttings can be taken now. Cut off around about 3 inches below a leaf joint. Remove those lower leaves. Take off the stipules that are like little leaves right attached next to the stem and then insert them into cutting compost. Put them on a sunny windowsill and within 6 weeks you'll have some more geraniums. Weed and spread compost from the compost bin over your beds and borders, especially on the vegetable patch. Feed your fruit trees with high potash fertiliser and plant some summer fruiting raspberry canes. As it's starting to warm up, it's a good time to have a look at that lawn. And yes, Molly Green, you can mow it in dry conditions like today and you can think about a spring weed and feed. OK, even think about laying a new lawn. How about that? More jobs to come later on in the podcast.
Perfect. Thank you very much, our dazzler. You know, you say about cutting. Do they have to go in cutting compost cuttings? Do they have to?
They don't have to, but cutting compost is something that you make to make sure there's enough drainage. That's the reason why we make 50% multipurpose compost, 50% you add vermiculite or perlite or grit, because it gives you that extra bit of drainage, because you don't want your geraniums rotting off, do you?
No, of course not. Talking geraniums, though, honestly, Darren, my husband and I must have done 10 garden centres this week. Lovely little days out. Yesterday we were over in Leicestershire. We went to a big one, which wasn't any cop. You know, like the massive ones that do hot tubs and stuff. It was a bit soulless.
Yeah.
Then we went over to Sapcote Garden Centre. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been for a while.
It's magnificent. But, yeah. The passion of the people, the ladies there were so nice. But talking geraniums, I've never seen these for sale before. Tiny weeny, they're almost like incense cone sized geraniums in sort of trays, 50 for £10.
Yeah, they've been around for quite a while actually. So, you know, I hope you bought some.
50.
And I hope you've got some fresh. There you go. Have you got some fresh geraniums for your garden? We all try to keep them, but they just get virus-ridden, don't they? It's time to give up on some of them sometimes. So a nice new fresh batch for me to look forward to when I come next to the house.
Yeah, that'd be smashing. Well, you can have some because I have so many. But you're right. I mean, I ask you about cuttings and overwintering every year. You talk about it every year. And sometimes they get through. Sometimes they just go brown, leggy and a little bit mouldy. So, yeah, this new batch is absolutely fab. However, my husband and I were talking about this. He thinks they might be from cuttings, these tiny weeny things. And I think they come from seed. I mean, the manufacturers, you know, sort of, you know, at the beginning point before they filter down the line to, you know, to the garden centres, are they seed, these geraniums?
In those small modular trays, yes, they will be. They'll be seed. Okay.
Why can't the consumer buy geranium seed?
Well, you can get geranium seed, but you can only get certain types. And it's literally because of the cultivation process. It's quite expensive to produce the Molly. So they're not just going to let them out for the general public. So some of the more exotic cultivars you can't buy seed for, but you can get geranium seed. Sometimes geranium seed can be really, really small as well. So that's the other issue, that the common gardener really wouldn't be able to sow them. You just can't handle them. There's the two reasons.
Well, I'm really pleased I found a garden centre that does these little little trays, these modules. That, I mean, they're tiny and you've got to have the space to grow on. And of course, you've got to buy the compost to put them in. But I had a joyful maybe hour yesterday repotting them. And I've got far too many. So, yeah, next time you come over, you can have your Christmas present and you can have some geraniums.
Oh, great. Sounds great.
Sounds great. Right then, our Dazzler, shall we get on to a question for you?
Yes, please.
Yes, now we're on sheet two. If you want anything... Ooh. Oh, yes. Anything answered, go on.
We passed one sheet.
We have...
We're past one sheet.
That's made me laugh for so many weeks now. One sheet is gone. If you want anything answered by your expert, our Darren Rudge, all you have to do is drop us an email during the week at thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. That's our email, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Or actually, we have had a few on the Facebook page as well. Again, it's The Happy Garden Podcast on Facebook. You're more than welcome to leave a question there for our Darren as well. So, Molly and Darren, I cleaned out my greenhouse in anticipation of spring. Now, my lovely friend and fellow allotmenteer, Diane, bought me these coffee seeds, see attached picture, at the end of last year. I think they're houseplants. Darren, would you be able to advise me? And that's our lovely friend, Egypt Jean, who got relabeled Egypt Jean the other day because someone misheard. Either way, it's Jean.
Yeah, Jean. Yeah, you can sow them. I mean, coffee is a tender plant, so you are going to need to keep them indoors. But sow them normally, as you would do any other seed, around about 2 times the depth for coffee seeds. And you'll need to give them a little bit of time to germinate and keep them nice and warm. If you've got a propagation case you can pop them into when once you've sown them, that would be all the better for the coffee seed itself. So get them underway, get them germinated, and send us a picture like you did in the beginning when once they're through, and then keep them indoors. Even during the hottest summer, you'll need to just keep them inside. Do humidify, so basically, get your spray bottle when once they're underway and just give them a little bit of mist on the sunniest of days, because what they don't like is being dry around the leaves. So give them a spray across the leaves and you'll be fine with them. And you might even get some coffee. How about that?
Ooh,
grow your own
imagine.
Coffee, Molly Green. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
I don't know if it's a daft question to ask you, Darren, but will the plants smell of coffee, or is it just like the fruit that does? I don't know anything about coffee plants.
It's mainly the fruit that smells of coffee. Mm. And remember, caffeine is an insecticide, so that's why coffee plants and other plants like tea produce caffeine, because it's their insecticide. It's why they deal with pests that come and have a little bit of a munch.
Oh.
But we obviously get a kick from it.
We have to welcome some new listeners to the Happy Garden Podcast, Darren.
Wow.
I know. Hillsborough and Atlanta in America. We've had a fair few downloads in Atlanta and Hillsborough. We've actually also gone into the Apple charts in America as well this week.
Wow. God. Wow.
Oh, no. Also, we've had a fair few downloads in South Africa, Johannesburg, to be precise, and a noticeable amount in Paris as well this week. So if you're listening to any of those places, a warm welcome and a big thank you.
Well, I have to say, talking about people listening to us, the contractors building my garden in Warsaw at the moment, because I went out there this morning to mark out the lawn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's going to be installed on Monday. I actually commented on the Happy Garden podcast.
Good or bad?
And said, how good it is. How good it is.
Woo-hoo! Oh, good.
So thank you, Simon. Thank you, Jay. And thank you, Kieran. Okay, I hope you're listening to this.
Yes. Oh, thank you very much, all. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast, please, because it does help us out. No end. There we go. There's an extra 3. Nice one, Darren.
They do say I put my lecturer's voice on when I'm doing the podcast, though. I'm not common Darren.
You do.
I stand in front of them, talk in the cud.
You do use your telephone voice quite a bit. Say BBC. Say you used to work for the... No, well, you still do, because you're with me this week. Say you work for the BBC.
Well, I work for the BBC.
There you go, you see. Say you work for the RHS.
I work for the RHS.
There you go, you see. Right, listen, let's press on because we haven't passed sheet two yet. Right, there's one sheet. Let's get him out of the way. We're going to hear from Andy Lound very shortly about the history of flower shows. But firstly, let's hear from George Plumtree regarding the second ever show garden at Chelsea. It's going to be designed, as you'll hear, by Tom Stuart Smith. So here is the lovely George.
We, for only the second time in our history, are having a show garden at Chelsea Flower Show, which is, we're all beside ourselves with excitement about. So there's this amazing philanthropic charity called Project Giving Back, which supports charities to have show gardens at Chelsea Flower Show. They started 3 years ago. This is their third year. And they, it's quite an onerous selection process, which you would expect, considering they fund everything. And we were very fortunate. We passed through last year to be considered for to have a garden this year.
Brilliant.
And our garden is being designed by the peerless Tom Stuart Smith, who wonderfully, we were very keen, determined that our garden designer would be somebody who opened. Tom this year will clock up 30 years of opening for the National Garden Scheme at his home in Hertfordshire. So he's designing the garden. He's come out of retirement from Chelsea Show Gardens. The last one he did was 2010. He's come out of retirement specially for us. And it will just be a wonderful way for us to showcase the National Garden Scheme in, you know, the greatest gardening arena in of the year. It's really exciting.
Do we have any heads up, George? Darren and I come every year to press day at Chelsea to peruse the gardens.
Well, we will be entertaining royally, so
oh,
name your time and there will be a guided tour of the garden.
Oh, fab.
We'll be there all day. It's very exciting. That's brilliant.
Well, we see, we know that planning for the forthcoming year at Chelsea starts probably about a week after breakdown of the current year. So any small heads up of sort of the design that Tom might be doing for you, or is that all under wraps?
Well, the design, I think, is going to be rather wonderful because actually, in some ways, it's not what people might expect of the National Garden Scheme. It's not going to be a rose arches and peony borders, but it is definitely bang on contemporary. It's got a slightly edge of woodland feel. There'll be lots of slightly shade loving plants. There's going to be a beautiful oak building from which tea in the time-honored National Garden Scheme way will be dispensed. It'll be quite understated. It's not going to be a big flashy garden. It's going to be thoughtful, sustainable, and Tom is such a great plantsman. I think the arrangement of plants is just going to be a bit magic, actually.
Well, Darren and I really, really look forward to seeing you in a few months down at Chelsea. It's so nice to catch up with you, George. Thank you ever so much for
your time.
Thanks
to you, Molly.
Yeah.
No, and you know, the beginning of the year is, if you're lucky enough to work in the gardening world, the beginning of the year is, you know, people go under their duvets for the whole of January, and I can't wait to get started again. It's a really exciting time of the year for everybody in the gardening world. You know, we feel like those snowdrops. We can't wait to pop up.
Absolutely. It's a world of promise. We will see you soon.
Thanks, Molly. Bye.
George Plumtree from the National Garden Scheme. He's the chief executive. He's lovely. He's a very good friend of ours. Can't wait for Chelsea, Dazzler.
No, it's going to be fantastic this year. I think, you know, last year was better than ever for me because it was more accessible, and I think we're just going to get more and more of that, Molly, to be honest. I can't wait to get there myself.
Accessible in what way?
Just ideas and things that people can take home with them. You know, this is the premiere show, as I'll say in my little piece that we're going to do in a little while, and has always been sort of a showpiece, but something has always been sort of missing for me as a common man that needs just to take things home.
Yeah.
And last year was just wonderful to say, you can stand in front of the garden plots and see the ideas and actually say to yourself that I can take this home and I can do this myself at home. And some wonderful, wonderful ideas. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes it gets a bit conceptual and sometimes you scratch your head and think, how has that got a gold medal, three lumps of rock and a sculpture? But it is the premier show and it does reflect trends and concepts and things like that. So I'm hoping for more of the same of last year, this year, really. And by the previews and the premieres that I've actually seen so far, it's going to be a brilliant show.
I took something home last year as well, Darren, because a little bit of geranium had fallen off the Birmingham City Council Gold Award stand. So I just, you know, I just, well, it's going to go in the bin. So I took that home. Lovely, lovely geranium, which I've overwintered for this year. Which reminds me, actually, we don't know, do we? Well, no, it was on the floor. We don't know, do we, if Birmingham City Council are going to enter because of all their financial difficulties, even though they've had 11 gold straight. We're still not sure if they're going to be there, are we?
Well, I've done a little bit of digging around, I'm afraid, and the rumour, the very big rumour, is that because of the financial crisis in Birmingham, it's not going to happen this year.
Oh, man.
Should be a travesty, really.
A but real
shame. You can understand why, can't you? When they need to spend monies desperately on other things rather than a flower show.
Yeah, of course. And I think we've said in previous pods, haven't we, Darren? You and I have presented proudly presented the Birmingham in Bloom Award ceremony for many, many years. But that is the competition. Has the competition been cancelled or is it just the award ceremony? I'm not quite sure, but we definitely won't be there.
The competition hasn't been cancelled at all, but the award ceremony wasn't it? Because we didn't go.
Yeah. We were booked and then we were unbooked because of the financial situation, which was a real shame because we met some amazing people there and heard some amazing stories and tales of what horticulture has done for local communities, which actually quickly brings me on nicely to how's your week been? Have you been doing community things?
Well, we did our community garden this week. We've made bird houses and we put those up on the trees. We dug out a massive border in front of the main building and we've been supplied with some plants from a nursery called Fulbrook, which is a plant nursery based in Lichfield. They deliver all across the country, folks, and I'm not getting any money for saying this, but they are great. They've been absolutely brilliant. They supplied us with around about £1,700 worth of plants.
For free?
For free.
Oh, well done, Fulbrook.
They've just given it to us because of the volunteers. They've heard about the work we're doing. And this is a Victorian property, Molly, with a really, really grand frontage. Well, it's the back garden, but it's a frontage into the back garden. Mm. And we've dug out, it's about 2 metres wide by about something like 35, 40 metres long. And we're going to plant it this week coming, I should say. You know, we're going to be in there with a range of shrubs, a perennial supplied by Fulbrook, and we're going to plant that garden. And it's going to be there for the community and for wildlife.
Oh, brill. That sounds absolutely grand. Look forward to that coming to fruition and seeing some pictures in months to come when everything's blossomed and grown. And it's going to give so many people so much pleasure. What? Is there somebody using a two-speed hammer drill in the back of the Rudge household?
It's not in the... It's in
is
the
that your missus? Is that your missus doing some shelving?
No, it's... Yes, she's got a Christmas present out.
What's happening?
my neighbour is a bit of a DIY guy.
Mm.
You know, he gets so far and then doesn't quite finish it off right.
Okay.
I must admit. I mean, he mows his hedge.
Oh, all the gear. Yeah.
Compute.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he gets the fly mow out and he mows the hedge.
What's he trying to do now? I can hear all sorts going on in the back.
So. In his garage, he's got a circular saw and he's obviously doing something with wood or he's chopping his arm off. One of the others.
Oh, God. Circular saws. We've got one. It frightens the life out of me. Oh, my goodness. You've got to know what you're doing. By the way, there was a creak. You've got the circular saw your end. There was a creak at the door this end because Mr. Green just poked his head in with a pad and a piece of paper. I mean, the houseplant band hasn't been here for months. I think it might return today.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we need a greatest hit. Well, we really do.
We need a hit. What are you talking about? Oh, God. I'll call him in a minute. However, right now, let's get our Andy Lound on with the history of flower shows. Now, Darren's going to profile some of the big horticultural shows coming up in 2024 very, very shortly. But let's have a look at some of the history that goes behind some of our shows. Here's Andy Lound.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Good morning, Molly and Darren. Today we step into the vibrant world of flowers, where nature's beauty takes centre stage in a spectacle that has captivated enthusiasts for centuries, the Flower Show. A celebration of horticultural mastery and artistic expression, flower shows have a storied history that has blossomed across cultures and continents. It was in the 19th century when the first flower shows emerged in Europe. The Royal Horticultural Society in London organised one of the earliest and most influential shows in 1827, setting the stage for a tradition that would soon spread globally. These early exhibitions showcased exotic plants brought back from far-flung corners of the British Empire, captivating the imaginations of Victorian public. As the 19th century progressed, flower shows evolved from simple exhibitions into elaborate displays of horticultural excellence. The Crystal Palace Flower Show in London, held in 1851, marked a pivotal moment. This iconic event, coinciding with the Great Exhibition, showcased an array of floral splendours and set the standard for future flower shows. No discussion of flower shows would be complete without mentioning the renowned Chelsea Flower Show. Inaugurated in 1913, this event has become a highlight of horticultural calendar. The Chelsea Flower Show is not only a showcase for the latest in gardening trends, but also a platform for designers and enthusiasts to push the boundary of creativity and innovation. Birmingham City Council were often prize winners at the show, and their displays in parks were legendary. The concept of flower shows quickly spread beyond Europe, finding fertile ground in countries around the world. From the Philadelphia Flower Show in the United States, which dates back to 1829, to the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show in Australia, these exhibitions became a global phenomenon, adapting to local flora and cultural tastes. In the 21st century, flower shows continue to flourish, embracing technology and sustainability. Contemporary shows not only feature stunning floral displays, but address pressing environmental concerns. Themes such as conservation, biodiversity, and climate change have found a place amid the blossoms, reflecting a growing awareness of the interconnectedness between nature and humanity. Beyond their aesthetic appeal, flower shows play a crucial role in fostering community engagement and providing a platform for amateur gardeners to showcase their talents, creating a sense of camaraderie and shared passion. Ah, men love to display their peonies. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, everyone. It's true, though.
And you pull me up on things like that. I can't say that on a podcast.
Sure. There's some sort of willy waving going on with your next door neighbour. I'm not sure when his big power tools out.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'm right up the window.
Oh, how we laugh. Andy Lange, thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Wonderful.
AndrewLound.com if you want to know more about our Andy. And he'll be back with more horticultural histories next week. Now, Darren, this weather is smashing. I don't know what you're going to be doing when we finish the pod. I got a tiny, weeny little bit sunburnt. I've just got back in the car. I was just a passenger sat in the car. I'm quite red, actually. The sun was so strong this morning. It was lovely. And I spoke to Jim Dale earlier on this week, the weather guy, who said, Darren, all the components are aligning for us to have another 40-degree summer.
Well, we better prepare our gardens then, hadn't we? You need to mulch, folks. Okay, all this rain that we've had, you need to keep in the ground.
Yeah.
So it's 4 inches of mulch on the top of the ground. Then you won't have to water in the summer and your plants will be fine.
And invest in water butts. I know, gosh, we're moaning about water now, but we'll be, yeah. No doubt there'll be a hose pipe ban, this, that and the other. So definitely invest in your butts, as we've said before.
Yeah.
Keep
your butt clean.
Yes, we've done a whole podcast on that, haven't we? Definitely. It was also confirmed that February just gone was the wettest on record ever. And Jim and I were talking about the horticulturalists that have been in the news this week, saying not all varieties, but there are some apple tree growers, particularly the traditional types, that are worried because less frosts, which, of course, we've had few, haven't we? Over winter just gone. Less frosts mean less buds for the apple trees, which obviously means less fruit. So some traditional British types are at risk of eventually disappearing from orchards if we have these mild winters, apparently.
Well, it's already happening, Molly. We are losing some things, and we can't stop it because it's just climate change. So there are some traditional varieties that are really, really struggling, especially fruit. I think it's inevitable that we will come to a point where we will lose some of the traditional varieties because we're just not having the winters that we used to have.
It says gala and jazz. There's a couple of sort of types that have been bred to need fewer chilly nights. But, yeah, as you say, some of the traditional ones, maybe for it because of the climate change. Interesting stuff in the news this week.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
I'm Adam Frost and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and that Darren Rudge fella.
We've got a few adverts coming up shortly, but firstly, our Dazzler, do you want to do your profiling on some of the magnificent horticultural shows that we've got coming up 2024? Maybe people would like to plan a little visit, see what's going on in your neck of the woods.
If it's rainy, then put on your boots. Lots of puddles, good for jumping too. No more clouds, hello, sky of blue. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
So then, folks, here's my show roundup for this year. If you're looking for garden inspiration, why not treat yourself to a day out at a garden show? Let's start with the RHS shows to begin with. Each of the RHS flower shows has a distinctive field. Their location and available space and the time of year, the show gardens and stall holders all playing their part. The season of RHS shows gets off to a flying start in early May with the Malvern Spring Festival. With a back open vista towards the beautiful Malvern Hills, a friendly and spacious show to visit. It has a real community feel. For example, with local schools entering mini show gardens and talks and demonstrations going on throughout, offering loads of practical inspiration for gardeners. The show runs from the 9th to the 12th of May 2024. The world famous Chelsea Flower Show is next, in the grounds of the Royal Hospital in London, and runs from the 21st to the 25th of May 2024. As the Royal Horticultural Society's flagship show, Chelsea's really packed with things to see. There are a total of 39 show gardens, 13 main show gardens, along with balcony gardens, sanctuary gardens, container gardens, and all about plant gardens, all eligible for medals. For the designers, attention to detail is minuscule and it means everything, folks. And of course, you won't be short of shopping opportunities with all sorts of garden inspiration, art, clothing and top quality garden products in the trade stands that follow along the sides. In July then, we move on to Hampton Court Palace. They host there the Garden Festival, the Royal Horticultural Society Garden Festival. This is the height of summer, often with wonderful weather. In terms of area, at 34 acres, this is the world's largest annual flower show, folks. This is an extremely busy show, but with all this space, you won't feel hampered as you move around. If retail therapy is your thing, you'll love Hampton Court. From the huge country living marquee of stalls to abundant and wide-ranging plants and all sorts of garden businesses with solutions for space. The show runs from the 2nd to the 7th of July 2024. Late July then hosts the Tatton Park Flower Show near Knutsford in Cheshire. Situated in Tatton's Deer Park, there's plenty of wide open space, easy to navigate, and you can even take the dog. Very much a friendly show and a very friendly welcome that you get at Tatton. Tatton is the place for the next generation of garden designers to make their mark. Very inclusive and an inviting space to spend time. Again, with so many nurseries and businesses exhibiting to sell their plants and garden solutions, as well as food and drink, jewellery and much, much more. Tatton Park then runs from the 17th to 21st of July. Finally, the RHS season is rounded up with the Malvern Autumn Show. Again, set in that stunning backdrop of the Malvern Hills, the show brings everything that is autumn together, including the ever-popular Giant Veg competition. Dates include 27th to the 29th of September. Can't finish this segment, folks, without the love of my heart and a mention of Gardeners World Live. Now three shows, folks. A spring show set in the stunning grounds of Bewley, in the heart of the New Forest. The ever-popular BBC Gardeners World Show, which is the main show, set at the National Exhibition Centre. And the new autumn show, held in the grounds of Audley End House, in their gardens in Essex. All three contain show gardens, beautiful border creations, wheelbarrow competitions for schools, the floral marquee, and rival the RHS shows in many, many ways. And of course, you get to see up close the Gardeners World TV stars and can take expert advice from a horde of gardening experts just like me.
Yay!
Bewley runs from the 3rd to the... yeah, Bewley runs from the 3rd to the 5th of May. Gardeners World runs from the 13th to the 16th of June, and finally Audley End Autumn Fair running from the 30th of August to the 1st of September. Whatever show you choose, you're sure to have a great day out and find that inspiration. Go on, indulge your gardening passion.
What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on?
And we will see you up close and personal, our Dazzler. Nearer the time, you'll have to tell us sort of where and when and, you know, when you're on stage and when people will be able to see you at the various shows as well. Yay! Marvellous.
Come and throw tomatoes.
Probably pants, I'd have thought, Darren. It's happened in the past. It'll happen again.
It has, actually.
I know. Now, let's have a quick break for a couple of minutes for some adverts, brackets, which we still don't get paid for. And you can fast forward them, of course. We will be back talking cacti with the lovely Stan and Vicky from Craig House Cacti. Darren's money-saving tips. We've got an interesting question for one of you guys on repotting a Christmas poinsettia. And also, Darren, the houseplant band is hovering by the door. Stay exactly where you are. We'll see you in a tickle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A very warm welcome back. Still to come, we've got Stan and Vicky from Craig House Cacti. Wonderful couple Darren and I know very, very well, who are hugely passionate about cacti. We'll introduce you to them shortly. Dazzler, you're profiling somewhere that you're incredibly passionate about. You're, well, and lucky enough to work there. You're going to be talking about Winterbourne Gardens shortly.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I was only going to interject to say I've got you some sexy music for that.
Great.
And I'm going to bump up your jokes as well in the running order this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So we'll I've got some terrific jokes.
Great. Look forward to those. However, I'm looking outside the window and there is someone hovering about.
Okay.
Here, you can come in if you like.
Yeah.
He's been outside for ages. It's the house. Oh, yes. Round of applause. It's the houseplant band. Yeah, I've only got one microphone. You'll have to share it. Now, where have you been, houseplant band?
It's been terrible.
Come in, kneeling.
Darren, you'll understand. The fame went to my head.
Yeah.
And I fell in with a bad crowd, the allotment people. Mm. Men and women in a ramshackle do. They've been doing it for years. And Darren, before I knew it, I was on paraffin.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, Darren, the first sniff's free. But after a month or so, I was on 5 litres a week. I've had to pawn the kazoo. And that's why I've not been here. But I reached the very bottom. The other day, I woke up in a cold frame made of two front doors and a casement window. And they'd stolen me Swanee whistle. So I've got to get the band back together. Apparently I owe somebody for 8 tons of manure that was delivered that my name was signed on. I don't want to see those people again. They're too hardcore. But the allotment people anyway, they're into different music than I was into. I don't know what he was growing in the greenhouse, but I met this man called Shaggy, and he had a really catchy tune. So I'm going to try that.
Do you know why he's called Shaggy?
He laughed a lot. I don't know. His trousers were quite loose. I don't know. Right, you ready, beatboxer? Mr. Dibber Dibber. Mr. Dibber Dibber. They call me Plantastic, whether under glass or plastic. Soon as Abba sees I wanna sow them all thinly, why don't you plant some with me? And together we can watch them grow. They need light and bottom heat. An electric propagator would be really neat, but still, you'll get good results from you putting your pots on a windowsill. Mr. Dibber Dibber. And Mr. Dibber Dibber. I'll go now.
Thank you. We'll see you
soon. Oh, we missed him.
Yeah, he's gone.
We've missed him.
We have missed him.
Is he going to go on tour? Oh, he's gone.
He's gone. I enjoyed that, though. That was good. I think he was working on that in the greenhouse earlier.
Oh.
Okay.
I bet the plants are sick of it.
Oh, dear. Right, so now where are we? Right, your jokes. Let's get Darren's jokes on. Here we go.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudd.
Okay, right then. Lesby Avenue.
Molly.
Yes?
I went down the allotment the other day and there was no one around apart from a piece of apple pie, sherry trifle... and a black forest ghetto.
Strange.
It was strangely deserted.
Oh! Good, I like that one. Yes, good. I'll give you that.
Every morning, Molly, I take my cow for a walk through the vineyard. Yes, I heard it through the grapevine.
Heard
what? The cow. Heard the cow through the mouth.
Oh, as in H-E-R-D. I missed that bit. No, that's good. That's a double whammy. I was only expecting one strand to that joke, but turns out it got two. Good, Darren, good. In fact, you can have two. Hang on. All right, go.
Molly.
Yeah?
I've started a new gardening database for all to access on the podcast and was thinking about a really strong password. It wouldn't let me use beef stew... as a password, as it's not strong enough.
Oh, Darren! Now that's good. I'm very pleased with you on number four. Good. Yep.
Number five. Mm-hmm. What did one potato say to the other potato when there was an awkward smell in the room?
Oh, that's nothing to do with chitting himself. Oh, something to do with chitting himself. Was it?
Have you chit yourself?
Oh, yes. Keep on subtly adapting that and use it every week. I love it. Love it, love it, love it at large. Good, Darren. Jesus.
I was...
Oh, we got another one.
Telling a friend down the allotment... Mm. Yeah. It's number five. I was telling a friend down the allotment I used to be addicted to the hokey cokey. But it's OK now because I've turned myself around.
Oh, good, Darren, good. Yeah, good.
I do have another one, but it's nothing to do with gardening.
Oh, go on, let's have it anyway.
The DeLorean car from Back to the Future...
My favourite.
..was up for sale this week. The advert read, very low miles, and it's only been driven from time to time.
Oh, now that's clever. Good. Where'd you hear that?
What are you looking at, butthead?
What? I made that up.
Oh, lie!
How dare you? I make all these jokes up. Oh, make them all up. They're all my originals.
I like that one very much. Five and a bonus joke today. Very good.
Yeah. And a potato chitting himself.
Always good. I'll have one of those a week, please. Good, Darren, good.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
By the way, if you want to rival Darren with his gardening jokes, just, you know, drop us a line either on the Facebook or the email. Let me give you all the numbers.
Get interactive with Molly. Lovely show. Professionals.
Come on.
Get interactive with Molly and Darren. Follow them on social media.
It's a bit like stalking.
Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
And if you think you're funnier than Darren, lesbian, haven't you?
Well, there's a challenge, isn't there? Not much.
I thought you were
going to
say
really.
There's a chance there. There is a small chance. Let's get another question on for you again, which this was at the email, which we've just given you the email address. Any questions for Darren are welcome. So this is from Penny. It says, hey, Molly. Hey, Darren. I've got a poinsettia that was given to me as a gift for Christmas 2022. I want to repot it, but I'm very wary that I might do it more harm than good. It looks more tree-like now with small leaves, plenty of healthy growth. I water it with fish tank water, and believe it or not, when I spray the orchids with their nutrient mist, it's gone very well. Only round the bottom near the soil, though. Any advice would be greatly appreciated on repotting. Cheers, guys. And that is Penny. And I've sent you over the picture of this poinsettia.
Yeah, it's really healthy, isn't it?
Great.
Well, Penny, you can deal with this in two ways. Yes, you can repot it. It's not a problem if you want to repot it. And I would advise that you do that. But remember, if you repot it, it's going to get bigger. So the thing that you might want to do before you actually repot is actually to cut it back. So in March, April, you can cut it back. So you can take a couple of inches off that plant and then repot it. So it will put on growth then, but won't get too large for you to actually handle. Use a multi-purpose compost. Add a little bit of vermiculite or even grit to that compost, because these plants come from Mexico, so they really like it to be quite dry around the root system. So you don't want a compost that's going to hold onto water or moisture, so add a little bit of compost. I always find that if you use a multi-purpose compost, it's a bit claggy, and it's my term for composts that really hold onto moisture too much for me. So get yourself a couple of handfuls of vermiculite in there, perlite if you prefer it, but I don't like the look of white balls all over the place. A little bit of horticultural grit, again, if you prefer it. Either or will do the trick. Mix it in well to your compost, pot it up. But my advice to you would be to cut it back by about 2 inches, okay? Find a leaf joint, cut above the top of the leaf joint, but remember, they are part of the spurge family, so they will bleed. They'll bleed a latex sap that can burn. And if you've got cats and dogs and things like that, do it well away from cats and dogs, because they can be attracted by the sap that comes out, and it's poisonous to them. So there you go, Penny. I hope that helps. And do send us a picture of when it's in flower once again at Christmas, because you've managed to get it through. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Penny. Oh, sorry, that was a bit loud. Thank you, Penny. yeah, cheers, Penny. Thank you very, very much for getting in touch. That's brilliant. The Happy Garden Podcast at gmail.com for any questions that you've got for our Darren. And, gosh, the questions are going to certainly ramp up, aren't they, now that the sun's come out and garden centres are getting busy. I bet all the online shops are getting busy with seeds. And, oh, Darren, I got my 3 bare-rooted roses from David Austin delivered this week.
Oh, get them in, Molly.
Already in.
Yeah, good stuff.
Some of the roots, though, I didn't want to ask you. I think two were... No, actually, I tell a lie. One was downwards, as you would imagine. I got two sort of prongs of green growth, and then the roots were down, so it was like a vertical stick. But the other two had the prongs of growth going up, but the roots were actually at a right angle to the knuckle. And so I'm assuming I did right, that literally I did a trench at the right angle. I shouldn't have squashed them in. I mean, I've planted them now, so I hope I did right.
Yeah, it'll be fine for them. They'll find their way anyway. I mean, it just means that that's the way they've been growing in the ground right. when they were in the field. So they've probably been grown quite tightly together, and that's the reason why they tend to grow at right angles. So they cram them in because they're trying to make money, Molly. and they will eventually go downwards. Well, that's entirely what it is. It's literally they've got these plants growing in the field and they pack them in. So you will find these at right angles because they're just trying to find the soil and a space to actually grow. Now you've given them that space, what they're doing right at this very moment in time is they're going, "Wee! Freedom!" That's actually what they're doing at this moment in time. They will think it's absolutely, and I'm going to use a black country word here, folks, they'll think it's absolutely busting. They will, and they'll just romp away for you. Plus, you've got the polarity, so, you know, it's got this gravitational pull, so even if they're at 45 degrees or 90 degrees right now, yeah. that gravitational pull will pull them downwards, so they'll end up straightening up.
Good.
Okay.
Grand. I can't wait to see them. The normal ones, I think, were £33. The berry were £23. So in essence, I've saved £30, which I was really pleased about. I also, and I don't know whether you have seen my picture of the hornet on our Facebook and Instagram,
yeah,
Adasla.
Yeah, it's queen, yeah.
I was digging compost for those roses to do the bare root because I mixed all sorts of bits and pieces into the planting hole. And, in the wheelbarrow, I felt terrible. The pictures, as I say, on the Facebook page and the Instagram, the Happy Garden podcast, it was at least an inch long, this beautiful creature. And I've covered her all back over, not so she can't escape. I wasn't sure what to do. Once I dug her out, because you're obviously overwintering there, and that's next year's colony. Definitely European and not Asian. I have absolutely triple checked. Yeah, as you say, Darren, the most spectacular creature. Quite a privilege to see, actually, up close.
Yeah, they're starting to emerge now, Moll, so I wouldn't be too sort of beaten up about it.
Oh, cool.
So it is around about the right sort of time for them to start to just sort of have a wander around and sort of wake up. I'm glad you put her back because she's next year's colony,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, very, very important. Yeah. And thank you if you commented and helped on that as well. Right, Darren, before you do your profiling of your gorgeous workplace or one of your workplaces, Winterbourne Gardens, do you want to do your money-saving tips?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Now, live on the Happy Garden podcast, it's time for Darren's money-saving tips.
Please. Go, Darren, go!
Now, here's a tip for folks that like spring bulbs. In the next few weeks, folks, take a trip to your local nursery or garden centre and ask if they have any spring bulbs in pots that have gone over. Buy them at half or even quarter of the price. Plant the pots where you want your spring bulbs to be next year. And guess what? You'll have a cut price spring bulb display the following year. Just be a little bit cheeky and ask them if you can buy them. They'll willingly sell them to you. Money-saving tip, Molly.
Genius.
Well, yes.
Darren's money-saving tips.
Love your money-saving tips. Love them. Now, I've got you some sexy music, if I can find it, next.
Okay.
When Darren and I used to be on the BBC together...
Do you know who we were?
Yeah, when we used to do it together, what was the feature where you used to have we used to lower your voice and talk about cream horns and...
It was Sexy Walks of the Week.
Where's your sexy music? Darren likes his sexy music. Oh, no, I can't find it. Hang on, I've definitely put it in. Hang on. Where is that then? Oh, no. That's not it. Guess what this is? Hang on.
That's a chainsaw.
No.
No?
No, it was... it was, because I've seen the video. It was a rhino farting.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Someone happened to catch it at a zoo. Why have I got that on my system? I don't know.
Sounded very similar to my grandfather.
What did?
That rhino.
Which
that
one?
That rhino.
The long one or that one?
The long one.
Happens to us all the older we get.
He could hold a tune. He could hold a tune, I'm telling you.
Is it this one? No. Oh, here we are. I found it. I found it. It's labelled Long Sexy.
Oh, Long Sexy.
Long Sexy.
Wow.
And it's all for you, Darren. Here we go.
So I'm going to hand over to you. Yeah, I thought you'd like this. And, well, yeah, just literally just...
Now going to sleep.
Hand over to you.
Yeah, just... Okay. Chill out, and it's on that chaise lounge, you know. I think it's a Chelsea bun that I'd be having with a nice cup of coffee.
Decaf.
Yeah, and just chilling and, yeah, decaf. Just relaxing and just take that deep breath and just let it all sag out. Okay, folks. Okay, folks. So, as you'll know, I work at Winterbourne Gardens. Well, I have a learning establishment that I established around about 10 years ago now with a colleague. And we teach Royal Horticultural Society qualifications. But you might ask, why did I go there in the first place? Why not establish a learning establishment elsewhere? Simply because I fell in love. I fell in love with a garden, an arts and crafts garden. Built in around about the 1860s, 1870s, Winterbourne House and Gardens was built by the Nettlefold family. They basically had their fortune based on nuts and bolts and screws and things like that. And Mrs. Nettlefold was an avid gardener, and she built her mansion, which it is, you know, on this piece of ground, and actually occupied 7.5 acres of gardens. Now, her passion was gardening at that time, and she was really influenced, heavily influenced, by the garden designer Gertrude Jekyll. And many, many of the features in the garden itself are influenced by Jekyll herself. And there are some rumours that Jekyll actually paid a visit and chatted to Mrs. Nettlefold about features she wanted to install. Now, there's the top terrace, which is south-facing, and if you come to Winterbourne, you can have a nice cup of coffee and a cake. Coffee and walnut cake is absolutely brilliant from the coffee shop, and it's south facing, so it's lovely and sunny and warm, and all of the main residence is south facing. The actual service staff that were part of the property were on the north facing side. Now, there's a main lawn that was actually produced to just to meander and just basically to play games like bowls, cricket, those sorts of things, and then the arboretum. And then Winterbourne itself gets its name from the fact that it floods at the bottom of the site. So in winter, it actually floods. And then you've got this boggy meadow and a massive, ginormous rock garden that you can walk into, walk around and just be inspired by. There are the botanical borders that profile areas of the world. So this was really popular at that time, late Victorian times, to have an area that showed what plants you could grow in Asia, in America, in the European part of countries of the world, as well as China, Japan. So there's a whole area that's just packed with plants. There's the alpine area that shows alpine plants, and then there is the walled garden that originally was used to actually grow plants, fruit and vegetables for the house itself. And there's so much packed into Winterbourne Gardens, folks, that it really, really is worth a visit. The horticulture is second to none. The staff, the gardeners, around about 7 of them, are really approachable. They'll talk to you, and they are very, very knowledgeable. As well as, you could come and visit me and have a little chat from me, if you like. I'll even treat you to a nice cup of coffee if I see you down the road. And that's my profile of Winterbourne House and Gardens. Fantastic place. Have a look on Trustpilot, folks. You'll see it's voted one of the 12 best spring gardens to actually visit in the country. That's in the country, folks. Head gardener Dan, terrific guy. He's done a stunning job since he's taken over around about the last 4 years. So come and see for yourself. Come to Winterbourne House and Gardens.
You sold it, Darren. You sold it good and proper.
Job done.
Yeah. And I like it that you bribe people.
Nobody went to sleep.
Cake. No, I think that worked well. We'll use that long sexy again. Thought it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Long sexy.
Long sexy. Right, we're not far off being done. We're actually on sheet five now. Finish with some jobs very, very shortly. We must... hang on. Let me turn the heater off. Hang on. I put the heater on while you were talking. And actually, while you were talking... I love it that we could actually hear your neighbour's circular saw going while you were profiling Winter.
Did I tell him to shut up?
No. I wonder what he's making, though.
I don't know.
Can you not see?
Probably he's coughing. I don't know.
God, I love it. Love it.
Sincerely, he's that sort of a guy. You see, if he passes away, he'll leave me a note and say, I've done the coffin.
Yes. Propped up next to the metro.
It's in the shed.
Well, he sounds very organised, is what he sounds. Very, very organised. Right, so jobs for the week ahead to finish in just a couple of ticks. However, let's get Stan and Vicky on. Fabulous couple, aren't they, Darren? We see them at least once a year at some of the shows that you've already profiled.
Yeah.
So we've already heard from George Plumtree, the CEO of the NGS, who are having their second only ever garden at Chelsea Flower Show 2024. And Stan and Vicky are also getting ready as well. Spoke to them a week or so ago, asked them just how long they have been going on the show circuit for.
We've been going now for 16 years. It doesn't seem that long sometimes, but other times it does. And we mainly do the flower shows. We are cutting down because we're getting on a bit. Yeah, you know, it's ages catching up now with both of us. But we still want to sort of keep a hand in because, well, we'd miss everything. We'd miss everybody. It's another world on the circuit. So we're just trying to keep one or two going, more local ones rather than travelling the distances like we used to.
You will miss the community. I've literally got your website up in front of me and the pictures of you with the world and his wife are on your website. The celebrities, the horticultural celebrities, I mean... As you've just said, Vicky, you know, you've been on the circuit for a long time. So, yeah, you've got to keep your toes in. Stan, let me ask you, why all those years ago did you set this up? Why the passion for you and Vicky on cacti?
I've been interested in cacti for a long, long while, since my teens. Well, I'd got a fair collection of my own. We displayed with the society, the British Cactus and Succulent Society, for a number of years at some of the big shows around here. All of a sudden, the gentleman who previously owned Craig House, he said he was going to retire. He said, do you want to buy it? At that point, we were both fed up with our jobs. And so we immediately said yes. And that's how we entered.
And the rest is history. So what do you predominantly do, though, shows aside? Do you offer advice? Are you sort of there to extol the virtues and, you know, of the wonders of cacti?
Yes, we're always available. We do a number of talks all the way around the district at the general gardening clubs. So we get about around the area quite a lot, and we are well known in the area for things like that.
Mm. And your waistcoats.
Yes.
Oh, don't.
Every time we see you, Stan and Vicky, I mean, you look magnificent. Your cactus wardrobe must be huge.
Well, I'm actually in the process of making this year's at the moment.
Well, and we must explain that you only use cactus material. I mean, the material you make, it's phenomenal. We can spot you a mile off. And it's fabulous that you say for the circuit this year. What are you doing this year? Shall we see you down at the Chelsea Flower Show both?
Yes, you will.
Yay.
Yes, it will be our 14th appearance.
And how many gold medals?
11 so far.
Wow. Just amazing. And again, on your website, there's lots of pictures of you down at Chelsea with every celebrity you can imagine, including the Queen. Lovely picture.
Yes, and this year I didn't put a photograph on. Last year, I didn't put a photograph on, but I actually met the King.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And that was just an unbelievable moment because he wasn't where he was supposed to be and I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And the next thing, he stood in front of you ready to shake your hand. And I know, don't ask me what he said because I couldn't tell you. It was a complete shock because if you do tell, so you're told, you know, that you're going to meet them and you're ready for it. But this was just one of those magical moments, really.
It was fate, Vicky. Do you already...
Well, there is a photograph, but I didn't put it on.
Do you guys already have... Do you have the plan for Chelsea 2024 already? Have you started working on your display?
We can't really work on a display because all the plans are sort of tucked up in bed, shall we say.
Ah, right.
We have to wait until early April when things start to wake up. It depending how well they wake up. I mean, at the moment, they're looking fine at the moment. I'm not worried. It's just a matter of keeping calm at this point and hoping for the best.
Keeping calm. Well, I guess, you know, it's different from other exhibitors at Chelsea. You know, when we speak to the city councils or, you know, other exhibitors, David Austin, they start planning and, you know, zhuzhing the day after Chelsea finishes for the next year. I guess you guys are quite lucky in that, I mean, cacti don't really change week to week. I mean, I know they do when they flower and stuff, but you're quite lucky in that you know what's what well in advance.
Basically, yes. You can get the majority of the plants fine, that's no problem, but there are the specials that you like to produce every now and then. And some plants can quite surprise you with the growth and flowers at the right time.
Yeah,
occasionally. I wouldn't say all the time, it is occasionally. We have our favorites and stalwarts of the display in that they do flower mainly for Chelsea. We are looking away, and it's just, shall we say, looking forward to the next year, really, in a way, with trepidation.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, always. Yeah, you always get that hope that things will come right on the day, because it's only a short period when our plants are growing, and we need that sort of transition period, end of March, early April, and things can go wrong or right. It just depends on the weather at times.
Well, they generally go right with all of your gold medals, and I've no doubt you'll romp home again with one this year. Are cacti difficult to look after as a house plant? Extol the virtues. Why should we get cacti in our houses?
They're difficult to look after if you're not told how to look after them.
Right.
That's why when any plant that we sell, we give full instructions with them, depending on, you know, what type of plant it is, whether it's a lithops, whether it's a cacti. But, that, you know, they are easy enough to kill when people don't know how to look after them. But otherwise, they're fine. They'll last, they'll outlive us as long as they're looked after properly.
What kind of age are we talking about, Vicky?
You can talk hundreds of years.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Stan's seen them in Argentina. How old were they?
200 years old.
Wow. What did they look like, Stan? Yeah. Were they enormous?
There are some big ones. The majority of the round-bodied plants, they are just, shall we say, a little bit bigger than footballs. But there are some miniatures that are really small when they put some age on.
Did you go to Argentina to see the cacti?
Yes, I've been there, but it was way back in 2004 now.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I was thinking.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't go because one of us had to work.
Did he leave you? Did he leave you to water the cacti? Oh, Stan. what is, it's incredible that some of them there are 200 years. What do we have a record for the oldest cacti that's ever been recorded?
Baobab trees out in Madagascar and stuff like that. But there's one in the Canaries, I think.
I don't know if there's any record.
But I don't know whether there's any records such. That is into nearly 1,000, I think.
You're joking. Wow. Is this Stan, because they are such slow growers? Like, you know, like the giant tortoise. It's, you know, the bigger and the slower.
Yeah,
the older.
In a way. Yeah, it could be.
That's one thing we always ask at Chelsea, because when people come up and say, well, how do I look after these? The first thing you ask them is, where do you live? Because at Chelsea, you get them literally from all over the world. So it's no good you rabbiting on about, you know, somebody that lives in this country, and then they say, oh, but we live in the Far East. Right, well, forget all that. Yeah. This is what you need. So we always ask first.
Yeah, that's really interesting. What other shows are you guys doing 2024? We've mentioned Chelsea. What and Vicky, sadly, I think you say you're slowing down a little bit, so you won't be doing the whole circuit, but where else might we be able to see you?
Well, hopefully the two Malverns.
Brilliant.
Spring and autumn, because I think, well, we've done that. The actual nursery has done that for, what, 37 years. Wow. So far. And then we're doing Gardener's World, obviously, because that's on our doorstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Doorstep, not the doorstop, the doorstep.
I like doorstop.
yeah, I prefer doorstops, actually. And then we're doing Shrewsbury. Anybody that comes to the shows, even if they just come and say hello or something, we always like that. We never expect people just to come and, you know, spend with us. It's just nice. Garden clubs that we do as well, we tell them, just come and say hello. You know, that's all we want, really. And we've got the website, you say, so people can get in touch with us through that. Phone numbers are on there as well.
Let's give your website out, Vicky. Let everybody know what it is.
craighousecacti.co.uk.
And in person at the shows, I defy anybody to say I couldn't find them. You will find Stan and Vicky from the outfits. How far on are you, Vicky, with Stan's new coat?
Cacti coat? I haven't even got the pattern yet.
Oh, what? Quite far then.
Mine's nearly done. Mine is almost done.
What's your outfit? Is it? Have you got a jacket?
No, I've got a coat.
Oh, you're doing a coat. Okay, well, you've done a coat. Yeah. But you match normally, don't you?
We will, sort of match this time.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
Oh, bit of jeopardy.
I can't say too much.
Oh, no, of course.
There is a bit of link between my coat and Stan's.
Okay. All will be revealed at, I was going to say Chelsea,
all
but no, the Malvern Spring will be first.
No, Chelsea.
Isn't it?
Well, I'm afraid people have got to see last year's at Malvern, and then we launch it at Chelsea.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. It's a world in in itself, isn't it, your outfits? I love it. Oh, thank you so much. So craighousecacti.co.uk, as you say, everything's on there. You haven't got a nursery. We ought to just explain, you know, you can't come and physically visit you guys.
No, it's a residential property and we don't have facilities or anything for anybody to come.
But if you need advice, then these are the guys to contact. Oh, it's been so lovely catching up with you. So I will see you, or myself and Darren will see you in, mere weeks, couple of months, when the show starts. We will see you soon. Oh, it's a pleasure to speak to you both on the Happy Garden Podcast. Thank you, Stan and Vicky.
Thanks
a lot. Okay, thank you.
Take care, Molly.
Yeah, you take care.
Stan and Vicky from Craig House Cacti. Gosh, Darren, it's not far.
No.
Yeah, we'll see them soon, won't we? We'll see everybody on the circuit soon.
Yeah.
As things start to ramp up, which is all very exciting.
Couple of months, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait either.
It's going to be great. Right, shall we finish the Happy Garden Podcast 27, episode 27, with some jobs for the week ahead?
Yeah, why not?
All right. We do still have some really cold nights, sort of touching frost, but hopefully some equally beautiful days as well as things do start to warm up. So let's see what we can be doing in the garden. Dazzler?
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Go.
So, hard prune those dogwoods back right now, folks, so those wonderful coloured stems. This will ensure that you've got wonderful coloured stems for next year. Prune summer flowering clematis before they start to produce new growth. It's really important that you do that right now. Plant lily and gladioli bulbs into 10-centimetre holes or into pots. Cover with soil and compost and gently firm down. Remember to firm down because you don't want any air pockets in there, because that will fill with water and it'll rot your bulbs, and you don't want your bulbs rotting, do you? Wash any used pots and seed trays. If you've got nothing else to do, folks, just have a good tidy up, really. Apply fertiliser containing nitrogen, potassium and phosphorus around trees, fruit bushes and shrubs. Gives them just a general pickup. On your paths, give them a good sweep and a good tidy, and remove that algae and moss because they can be quite slippery. Prune gooseberries and cover with netting to prevent birds from eating in those wonderful, wonderful buds. And if you're ordering seeds and plugs from mail order companies, you'll need to do it right now.
It's all so exciting. Well, now we've finished the pod, what are you doing? Are you getting out there and doing things?
I'm going to sleep. Oh. Well. I was in Lincoln yesterday examining, and I had a travel back, so I'm shattered.
Of course. Oh, no, I forgot you've been travelling. You've been travelling on business. How did it all go?
It went really, really well.
What does next week hold for you? Are you travelling next week? What are you doing?
I've got more exams. Mm. I've got my own exams, my own groups at Winterbourne. They've got their exams on Friday and Saturday. So good luck, folks. You know you can do it. It's nothing to be worried about. You've been trained. So just get on with it, you know. Just treat it as another practical day, and that's all there is to it. And then I'm an examiner again Monday and Tuesday next week. And then Rudge the Judge goes to the NEC to do a preview day with people that are doing beautiful borders this year.
Fab.
That's what's happening on Wednesday.
Oh, try and do some recording if you
so that's
possibly
me next
can.
Week.
Try and have a word with a few people. That would be smashing.
Yeah.
Oh, it is just
behind the scenes with Rudge.
Rudge, yeah. Oh yes, we could. Yeah, we could make that little slot. How exciting! Well, listen, do get in touch this week. We'd love to see photos of any of your seedlings, your garden, your setup. Share sowing and growing and planting tips. As you've heard us talking, we're all getting really excited about the months ahead now. Well, the weeks ahead, should I say? We can, you know, envisage the colours, the baskets, the pots. Daydreaming about. We've got spinach coming up, beans are already coming up, salad leaves, digging carrots, it's all to come. And when we get these lovely sunny days, we're all sort of full steam ahead with enthusiasm. So do get in touch. The number's in just two ticks and the ways to get in touch. Have a fabulous gardening week. Darren, thank you for the podcast today.
No problem. Always a pleasure. You know that, Molly. You guys out there have a really good gardening week. No excuses, folks. And we'll see you next week on the Happy Gardening Podcast.
Well, Darren, I'll let you go and get your head down. God love you. I'm going to go and pull some nettles in this gorgeous sunshine. And we'll reconvene for next week's Happy Garden Podcast on Friday.
Sure will. See you, folks.
Ta-ra!
Bye.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.